Thanks be to God. Next, move into confession. Confess to God the things that didn't go the way that you had hoped they'd gone this week, the things that that you need extra help from the Holy Spirit to bring about and to further your faith, to further the faith of your family, to further your ability to live the Christian life. Confess to God now what you need. Thanks be to God. Pray next for those in your circle who are struggling, who might be sick, who might be anxious, who are struggling with finances, with family matters, with work stuff, whatever it might be. Pray for the people you know who need extra support this week, remembering especially Margaret's family, trips to D.C., family members with cancer and who need to know the Lord, and everything else that we talked about this morning. Thanks be to God. Pray next for Stony Brook Church. Pray for our leaders, for wisdom and discernment. Pray also for our vision and our mission in the valley, that God will continue to speak to us about what it is that he would have us do to be the local outpost of his kingdom here in South Hadley. Thanks be to God. Pray next for the conflict spots around the world. We think of Ukraine, and we pray for a swift ending and a just ending to that war, for all the wars that we know are going on in other places in Africa and places where people just do not dwell in safety, Lord, and where innocent people are suffering. We pray that you will work through those situations, Lord, and bring peace. Pray to God for his intervention in those places. Thanks be to God. Pray finally for our own nation. Pray for the U.S. that our leaders would govern us with wisdom and with justice. Pray also that we as a people may come together in unity and some of the splits and divides which seem so dramatic at this point would begin to heal, and we would come together and in unity and in strength, Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, we're grateful this morning for your goodness, for your mercy, for the chance to gather here together as a piece of the body of Christ and worship you in spirit, Lord, and in truth. We pray for Ray this morning as he brings your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be active here and speak to us during this time. We conclude now with a prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now the kids may be dismissed.
That's it. Close the doors. Don't let anybody else out. I have my big 5-pound Bible here, so if it falls, look out. I've often been, it's often been said of me that all I really can do is talk about the gospel. That's what Ray's going to talk about. He's going to talk about the gospel. So, is this? Yeah, okay. And so, guess what? I'm going to talk about the gospel again. But where do I begin? And so I was thinking that, where is it that I should begin? And I said, well, why don't I begin in the beginning, which is Genesis. And, of course, Genesis means beginning. So here we go. I'm going to give you a disclaimer here that most of what you're going to hear today, I have plagiarized. I have plagiarized from the Bible and from the commentaries of the Bible. I'm going to tell you a story that will be familiar to most. So for those people, please bear with me. Maybe there'll be things you haven't heard before or seen before, and that's my hope for you. For those people who are not familiar with the story, may God's word be inspiring to you. And for those who have never heard it, may the Lord richly bless them with the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our theme today will be, as Laurel spoke of in Psalm 34:8, she said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." I'd like to give you a taste of what God has in store for us as we read through the Bible. Chapters 1 through 11 in Genesis are a roadmap to what we're supposed to look for and see in the whole rest of the Bible. So it would kind of be like being standing in the middle of two railroad tracks and looking as far as you can, and it all seems to come together. And you say, well, there's probably no more after that. But as you keep going, as you keep reading the Bible, it never ends. And so I just would like to start here from the beginning and tell you the story. I'm speaking of the greatest story ever told, and that being the gospel. I took a little note from Kurt's sermon when he said it was the second greatest story ever told. Well, this is the first. In the first three chapters of the Bible, we will see that God creates heaven and earth. That's in chapter 1. In chapter 2, God creates Adam and Eve, man and woman. In chapter 3, man falls. And we get a glimpse, a type, or a figure of the announcement of the first gospel in the Bible. And that's where the title of this sermon is, Proto-Evangelium, meaning first gospel. So, right in chapter 3, when we just start the Bible, here comes a prototype or a rough draft of the gospel. I ask that you listen for the gospel. In the book of Revelation, there are verses which are repeated 7 times, and they are, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So, he speaks to each of the 7 churches, And at the end of his speaking to them, he gives them a benediction, and that was it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'm going to read chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. This is out of the ESV. The Lord God took the man and put him in a garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called them, that was their name. The man gave names to the livestock and the birds of the heaven and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was no one found a helper that was fit for him. So the Lord God caused him to go into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. The rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." There's your marriage. "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Quite a statement. So, let's go to the beginning of chapter 1, and I'm going to briefly go through this. There's five words in the beginning of the Bible. I want to speak about the first four. They say, "In the beginning, God." So if you have ever a discussion with the evolutionist, you might start there. And it also says, "In the beginning, God created." So Genesis is consistently monotheistic. For my friends from Granby, that means only one God. In its outlook, in marked contrast to other ancient Near East accounts of creation, there is only one God. To show how powerful and wonderful God is, he did this in 6 days. The first day, he invented light and dark. Said that was good. The second day, sea and sky. He said that was good. Third day, fertile earth. He said that was good. Fourth day, lights of the day and night, the sun and the moon. The fifth day, fish and birds. And he said that was good. And then the sixth day, land animals, including man and woman, Adam and Eve. And then he said it was very good. Now, in my exhaustive study, I couldn't find out why he said very good. But in my own personal opinion, I think it was because he made woman, you know, at the end there. And then he said very good. So, that's just my opinion. Just saying. So here we are in chapter 2. And the seventh day, God rested. Now, we think of rested probably as sleeping, napping, lying down. Well, that's not what they meant here in the Bible. There's a word for it in Hebrew, and it says Shabbat, which meant opposite of laboring or toiling. So I guess what you could say is that he was still. Let's jump along in chapter 2 to verse 15. Adam is put in the garden to work and keep it. But at this point, work was not a punishment, so he was just to tend it and just to have a good time. Verses 16 and 17, "But God commands Adam not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or he shall surely die." Verse 18 through 20, Adam names the animals, but there was no one suitable for him. Verses 21 and 22, God puts Adam to sleep and makes woman from his ribs. Verses 23 through 24, Adam acknowledges Eve as part of him, which leads to the definition of marriage. And in verse 25, the end of chapter 2, both were naked and not ashamed. So what's happened here is that the Lord God has made heaven and earth. He's made man, animals. He's made a perfect paradise for Adam and Eve to live in. Verses of encouragement here are Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And the theme of my sermon here today is, as Laurel mentioned, Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. So the first step in our salvation, in our gospel, is that God loves us, and he's proved that. Let me read chapter 3, and I beg you to pay attention. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. And then she adds, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to man, and said to him, great question, where are you? And Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman you gave to me, she made me eat it, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate it. Little blame shifting going on here. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the fields. On your belly you shall go, and to dust you shall eat all the days of your life. This next verse is the proto-evangelium, the first announcement of the gospel. God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I had commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for it is out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. In the rest of the chapter is where Adam and Eve get expelled from the garden because God didn't want them to eat of the tree of life and live forever. So getting back to the beginning of chapter 3, this is quite a warning. It's almost like a reader beware. God's created heaven and earth. He's created paradise. And then he says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. So let's look at that. Who's the serpent? Well, in Revelations 12:9 and also in 20 verse 2, and the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. So he's mentioned here in Genesis in the beginning, and he's mentioned in Revelations at the end. That's why he calls him the ancient serpent. In verses 2 and 3, so that verse floored me, because I said to myself, what is that doing there? He's created heaven and earth. The man and woman's naked. They've been married. And now what? You know, why are you saying this? So in verses 2 and 3, Eve misrepresents God's command. She adds, not to even touch the tree of life or tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verses 4 and 5, the serpent says, if you eat of the tree, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, that sounded good. But Adam and Eve were put into the Garden of Eden to have domain over it, to exercise the authority that God had given them. They were to rule over that. But what did they do? The first thing they did was they listened to the creature as opposed to the creator. So now they're in trouble. And so are we. This is what we've got to deal with. The devil, the serpent, always there. So Eve believed the serpent, that the fruit was enticing and would make her wise. So she ate of it, and she gave some to Adam, and he ate it. Verses 7 through 13, after eating the fruit, they realized they were naked. They attempted to clothe themselves with fig leaves. Later on, he says, Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. Verse 14, God addresses the serpent first. He curses him to be on his belly eating dust, having deceived the woman. The serpent will have ongoing hostility with the woman, which will be perpetuated by their respective offspring. Now again, verse 15. I caution you to listen to this. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Once again, proto-evangelium, the first gospel. Let's look at it. I will put enmity. Enmity is actively opposing, active hostility. So I will put active hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. So this is going to be a continuous thing. We're going to have problems the rest of our lives. Then he goes on and says, he, meaning Jesus, shall bruise your head, shall bruise the serpent's head. Well, this is pretty crass, but they say the way to kill a snake is to cut off his head. So maybe that's where they got it. And then he says, you shall bruise his heel. So the serpent shall bruise Jesus' heel, or our heel. So if you have a bruised heel, how are you going to walk? You're going to walk with a little bit of a limp, or you're going to stumble, and that's what we're going to be doing the rest of our lives here on earth. Verse 16, God gives Eve her consequences, pain in childbearing, and she wants to be the leader, but she can't. Verses 17 and 19, God gives a list of consequences to Adam. But in verse 20, God gives a couple hope. Adam names his wife Eve, which is life giver. Earlier today, a question was asked, are Adam and Eve saved, and are they in heaven? And, of course, the answer is yes, and here's why. Verse 21, God loves them so much, he gave them, one, proper clothing for their nakedness. Back in the scriptures, it says that they created fig leaves to cover themselves. Well, let's remember that in the first two chapters, God created everything. So God says, you're not going to create that. I will. So remember, this is the gospel here. Thus, requiring the death of an animal, shed blood of that animal, shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. In Hebrews 9:22, the Bible states there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And then the garments. After they get through shedding the blood of the animal, they give them the garments, which is Jesus' righteousness and his eternal life. In other words, he's covering them, he's protecting them, and sealing them with the Holy Spirit, if I may, until the return of Jesus Christ. So in this little story, we have the gospel. The first step is God loves us. That's chapter 1 and 2. He created paradise and man and woman. 2, we are sinners separated from God. We ate the fruit. 3, shed blood of the animals. That's a prototype or a rough draft of Jesus. And we are now clothed, sealed by the Spirit until Jesus returns. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words. And there's so much more in here that could have been said and probably should have been said. And Father, I thank you that you start off with your son Jesus in the first book, and you show us that it's he and only him who can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So, Father, thank you, and thank you for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blood of your son Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Announcements. We have a party at Kim and Pat's, and that'll be next week, next Sunday. Time? I didn't see it, but okay. So right after church sometime. Are there any other announcements? Oh, this is easy. I was really worried about this. Okay, so again, as a benediction for today's... You do? These people are pushy, I'll tell you that. Of course, forgive me.
closing hymn is number 106. If you want to turn and stand, we'll sing.